praise you, God. Our desire is to have just a real interaction with you. God, we want to worship you. God, we just want to tell you how good you are. God, we just want to thank you for the good things that you've done for us. We love you. All right, let's sing together. Give thanks to the Lord.
Forever God is with us, forever.
shout it out.
His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever.
That's good news.
His love endures forever. His love endures forever.
Yeah, glory to God.
Crown before the Lamb of God and Savior.
just our voices. Let's sing it.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all.
Thank you.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
God, thank you so much for your goodness. And God, just thank you that we can interact with you in such a beautiful and special way. And God, I just ask that we would just hear from you tonight. God, that it would be obvious, just like we already have. We love you. Amen. Man, thank you guys so much for being here tonight. It's a really, really important thing to build into ourselves spiritually, and that's exactly what's happening here tonight. So, including up here on stage, this is a really beautiful thing. So, thanks for singing along with us. That was great. Why don't you find somebody around you and say hey, and then go ahead and grab your seat.
Hey guys, welcome back to Next Level, and man, it's really, really excited for what we're doing. I was kind of surprised, if you were here last month, it was really interesting. We didn't even really teach something as much as we said, there's a process for maturity. We basically talked about that and said, we're going to be going after that together over the next few months. I was really surprised. I thought people would be like, man, we didn't like talk through that much. People came up excited. So if you were not here last month, welcome. Really glad you're with us. Welcome newbies. And we want to make sure, we want you to text Next Level to 313131. We want you to be engaged. We want you to get the experiments. We're going to talk about how to get engaged into groups, and we're going to talk this week, though, about beginning steps of what maturity, what growth is going to look like. We started talking about what would it look like for us to be fully mature? In other words, what would it look like for us to individually, to be able to weather anything that might come our way, any good things, any bad things that might happen? What might it look like for us also to be in a place of maturity where if our friends needed something, if there were people hurting around us, we would be in a place where we could build into them and help them spiritually? I'm really excited. We're going to be looking at that together. And the components for Next Level, they're going to include us being together in here. We're going to call this exposure. We're going to try to bring some of our best teaching. We're going to try to just share stories that encourage us, but there are two also other components that we want to make sure we're engaging in. Second one is experimenting. If you text in, we're going to text you every time. There's going to be an experiment to do to actually put into practice what we're doing. And then maybe one of the most important ones is we're going to have exchange. We're going to get into groups. We're committed to doing that. If you don't have a group, we're going to help you get in one tonight after we release tonight. But those are the three areas that we're going to be doing it. And our goal is that we become mature, meaning that we have more of the character and competency of Jesus. It just simply means as we become mature, absolutely, we're going to be able to do the things that Jesus did, and we're going to be like who Jesus was. That's it. So we're going to be on a journey, and I want to give you maybe a beginning idea on what this looks like. So last week, like I said, we had a chance to self-identify, and I want to look at maybe an example that puts this on the radar map for us of a guy that has a lot of competency. His name's Tom Brady, right? This dude can throw a football, Super Bowl champion, absolutely, but might be lacking a little bit in the character area. And so this past week, I don't know if you saw the Super Bowl party that he threw for kids. This is just the kind of guy that Tom Brady is, right? Like amazing competency, can throw a football, doing stuff like that for kids. Here's the issue with Tom Brady. Like, he will deflate things. We're not like Tom Brady. Here's our issue. As we look at what it means to grow spiritually, our problem is that we tend to overinflate things. We tend to actually say that we're a little further beyond where we're actually at times. So for instance, somebody comes and asks you, well, are you a healthy eater? You probably, of course I'm a healthy eater. And then if they really went and looked in your fridge and saw like ho-hos in your pantry and all the ice cream, it'd be like, I don't know if you're as healthy eater as you actually think and say that you are. And it's interesting, I think quite possibly the same goes spiritually. Last month we said we were going to look at the survey results that we did. We didn't get a chance to do it. We didn't get them in. We've got them in now. And last week we just said there's a path for maturity. And at Crossroads, we call our spiritual growth framework this idea of moving from seeking, receiving, following, producing. And it's not that one's better than the other. This is just the natural path that we all do. And it's not even that we leave things behind. We're going to talk more about that. But we tend to grow in each of these things. And we said, you're going to start off. The Bible gives this very clear picture of starting off as an infant and only being able to drink milk and then getting to a place where hopefully as we become mature, we're not only able to weather things ourselves, but we're able to actually build into other people. Let's take a look at what you guys said, our whole community. This is where we said that we landed. So we said about 2.1% of us are in a place of seeking. And as we thought about it, we expected that. We thought, gosh, this is a place where we're not so much seeking God as most of us are saying, God, we want and we're in a relationship with you. We're just trying to learn how to thrive in that. So for some ways, that was very encouraging. Love that we're seeing that. Then we saw about 25.8% of us are saying, yep, we're receiving from God. I just have a strong feeling this number is underinflated because the other two are probably overinflated. And we're going to look at the real definitions of that. As we started to look at what it means to be an adolescent, ultimately getting mature, we said almost 36%, and along with 36% saying, look, I'm producing, I'm reproducing, I am looking like Jesus right now. Started thinking about this. I was like, man, our exchange this past week was to start identifying where we really were at, to think about this. And hey, to be fair, this was before we went into all the details that people self-identified. But I was forced to start thinking about this. And in my exchange group this week, it was really interesting. I'm talking with one of the guys, and I'm starting to say, like, I don't think I'm as far along as I would like to be. Like, I think I'm actually really humbled by these results. And he said something really profound. He said, wait a minute. So are you telling me that the beginning of growth is understanding and identifying your immaturity? And I said, that sounds really profound. I'm going to act like I made that up, and I'm going to share that on Next Level. But yes, for us, maybe why we were excited last month was because if you want to grow, you've got to start understanding where you're at right now. If you want to grow and you want to get to a new place of maturity, you actually have to understand that you are immature and there are things that you need to grow. And I want to tell you about where I was at as I was talking with my buddy about it. And as much as I would like to say, man, I'm the pater, I am all the way to the right, I started thinking through, I'm doing things like tithing, being generous with my money. You know what? I'm actually going beyond tithing. Like, we're giving extra. Yes, I'm doing things differently because of Jesus. And at the same time, I am completely negotiating with God on things. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever, like, negotiated with God or if you felt like God was nudging you to do something and you just didn't do it. Like, the other day, I was getting my hair cut, and I felt like, man, I think I'm, like, supposed to say something to this person that's cutting my hair. And I was like, God, I don't want to look stupid. I'm just not going to do it. So I think, like, man, maybe there's some stuff in me that's not quite where I want to be. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you looked at all the things, but I would call myself a technon right now as I look at it. I would call myself as somebody being adolescent that still has some room to grow. Let me tell you, the beginning of growth is identifying immaturity. And hopefully you had the chance to go ahead and self-identify where you're at. Maybe you didn't. Maybe one of the signs of immaturity is, hey, I didn't follow through on that. I said I was going to do it, and I didn't do it. We're going to give you an opportunity, though, to do that right now. And so I want you to find somebody. We're going to take 3 minutes. I want you to find somebody that you haven't had this conversation with. And I want you to tell them, we'll put it back up on the screen. Let's put those different areas that we can land in spiritually. And I want us to practice exchanging right now. So you've got 3 minutes. I'll give you a halfway mark. But I want you to maybe say what you learned as you did your exchange experiment. Or maybe you want to confess and say, I'm a loser. I didn't do it, but here's where I'm at. You've got 3 minutes. Let's do that now. You have to get up. You have to get up and actually find somebody you don't know and be uncomfortable to be willing to grow and actually connect and say, hey, this is where I'm at. Young gun. Now
broken bottles in the hotel lobby.
All right, if you haven't traded, if you're not letting the other person talk now, you probably should start doing that.
I know it's crazy to believe in silly things, but it's not that easy. I remember it now, it takes me back to when it all first started. But I've only got myself to blame for it, and I accept it now. It's time to let it go, go out and start again. But it's not that easy. But I've got high hopes. It takes me back to when we started.
All right, thank you. Good job. Hey, some of you, way to get up. Give yourselves a hand. Good work. Good work. All right. Two things that I want us to just get us started coming out of that. Wherever you identified yourself, wherever you identified yourself, two things that I want to make sure you know. One, to be reminded from last time we were together. One, to think about this time. From last time, I want you to know, you must know, it is okay to be immature. We talked about it is okay to be immature and to still have areas where we're just saying, God, I need to grow in that. It's okay, along with, it's just not okay to stay that way, right? I don't think God desires that we become 30 and 40-year-olds still wearing saggy diapers, right? There's a point. And the same thing spiritually, God wants us. It's okay if we find areas, but God wants us to grow. And so along with the idea of God just pulling us like a magnet, desiring that we grow to a new place, we have to know this, that a lifetime of receiving is the foundation of maturity. The first skill we're going to spend the rest of our time understanding together, a lifetime of receiving is the foundation of maturity. Not what you can do, not the single skill you have to have, you have to understand if you want to grow, is how to receive. And so I'd love to just jump in and talk about receiving, but there's some background that you have to understand. You've got to understand the consequences. You have to understand some of the ramifications of sin and seeking. And so we're going to talk about those. Have an illustration from a buddy of mine. I asked him if I could use this. So he said, yep, go ahead and use this picture for me. And so he said, yes, I'll help you do this. So if you want to understand sin, you have to know that the degree to which you realize the sinfulness you have will impact the degree to which you can receive. So if the idea of LeBron James, he's a big dude. So if he says, you know, my sin, it's a little bit compared to me. Like, I'm pretty good. I've got stuff going for me. If I have a little bit of sin, essentially his capacity to receive is just going to be a little bit. Or if he's like, LeBron James, like, I'm a big dude. I got some big size sin going on in my life. He's going to say, look, I've got a lot I can receive. I've got a lot of stuff going on. We have to personally start to realize that those two things are heavily interconnected. There's a time that this just totally came to life for me, that God helped me realize this. This was back in 2007. And in 2007, I was working for a great company. I was less than 30 years old. I was making $100,000 a year. The best part, though, was I was working for a company that gave me 5 weeks of paid vacation every year, use it or lose it. That was by far like one of the best pieces of it. I was like, you don't even have to pay me if you give me 5 weeks of vacation, right? So I was thinking, God, you've blessed me. You've been so good to me, God. Thank you for that. I'm going to use that vacation to pay you back and do something good. Like, you know, you've been really great to me. So I'm going to Africa. I'm going to go to Africa, and not only going to go on the 1 week trip, I'm doing both weeks, God. Like, I'm going to go there and I'm going to change Africa, and it should take me about 2 weeks. Like, that should be enough time to completely fix all the issues of poverty and racism and HIV AIDS. Like, that should be about the time it takes to fix it. I mean, at least I'll fix the computer stuff I went over, you know, like, let's be realistic. And so I was leading a team of guys, and it took me about 3 days to realize how utterly and completely helpless and unable to take care of myself I was. We went there with every piece of equipment you could imagine, and all of our main goal, we wanted to create a computer network across the campus, and we couldn't connect internet between buildings, much less save anybody or anything else that was there. And we ended up calling back. The second week, we had guys come and bring more equipment, and we're trying to hook things up. And finally, we get to this frustrated place where I'm thinking, God, I traveled all the way across the world to, like, help you. I traveled all the way across the world to help do your work. What's going on here? And we finally got together, and we just gave up, and we prayed to God for help. We said, God, I'm completely at my wit's end. I need you. I'm helpless. Will you show us what we need to do? We prayed, and we came out of this prayer where one of the South African guys who had no IT training just walks over and points at one of the buildings where we walked over, and we found the exact place where everything was falling apart, where all the internet issues were happening. We fix it. We complete the internet project by the end of the week, and not only did God physically show up in that moment, but there was something that clicked in me where I started to just realize I couldn't do anything to make God happy. That nothing I was going to do, no trip to Africa, nothing was going to make God happy. In fact, God didn't have me go to Africa to go serve people. God sent me to Africa because he had an assignment where he wanted me to receive something. That was the only thing that happened, that God was saying, look, you got very little to offer me today. You think pretty highly of yourself. You think you got this great paying job and you are all that. You are not all that. You got very little that you can give me. How many of us have been thinking that maybe if we could just do something that God would be happier? Maybe we think that the things that we're doing because we've got a great prayer life, because we're reading our Bible, that God's happy. It's interesting. One of the founders of Crossroads, we went back. His name was Jim. We're really going to call him Bob. But it was really fascinating to hear what he said. Let's take a look at it, where he thought he was spiritually and how much he needed Jesus. He said, when I came to Jesus, I wasn't coming from a place of desperation. I felt like I was coming from a position of strength. Had a Catholic background that told me I was pretty good, actually better than most. And basically, I needed Jesus in some form or another to round out my portfolio. That was pretty much what I was saying when I was going to Africa, to say, you know what, Jesus, like, I'm going to work my way here, and then I think you're going to be happy, and you'll polish off these other areas. And you know what, I think then I'm just going to be really well-rounded. I'm going to be in a great, great place. Here's the problem. That has nothing to do with the gospel. It has nothing to do with the gospel. It has absolutely nothing to do with receiving. I want to give us a foundation with which to build on. Here's what it says in Romans 3 about what our works can do. It says, for everybody here, I don't care where you're at, don't care what you've done, there is no one righteous, not one. Let me tell you what righteousness is here. Many of us probably have thought that righteousness looks like this idea of a scale. And on one side of the scale, we do really good things. And so if today, you know what, I gave to a charity and I did really good stuff, but, you know, earlier today, I tripped this kid on the bus and, you know, the kid, he was kind of annoying and he chewed with his mouth open and nobody else liked him anyway, so I tripped him. But God, you like the stuff I'm doing over here good, and I showed up at Next Level, and so you must be happy, and so all that balances out and I just tip it this way. And so God, you must be relatively happy with me. And, you know, it's... yeah, I'm really frustrated, and I've been gossiping a little about my parents, but I've been nice to that person at work, and they're really annoying, and so, God, you just must be overall happy with me because I'm balancing it out. I'm going to tell you, that is not the standard God has. That's not what righteousness. Righteousness looks like one single thing. It looks like complete purity. Righteousness looks like the picture of God's son, Jesus, and that's the measure with which all of us are met against. And the idea is that once God finds one tiny little speck in our lives, find a little piece of anger, a little piece where we are just broken, God says, you know what? All of you is broken and impure and disconnected from me. In fact, it says this in Isaiah 64. It says, all of our righteousness, every one of the good deeds that we try to do in and apart from Jesus, they're like filthy rags. It's like a rag that's on the side of the road, and it's got like old dirty blood, and it's like turned brown, and it's got mucus on it, and it's crusty, and people have been stepping on it. And God says, you know what? That's what good works are apart from me, and I won't even get close to it. Like, I'm pulling away from it. I don't have anything to do with it. We have to start understanding that, man, any of the good works that we're trying to do, it's how God looks at them. And that's not it. Once God sees that, once God says, gosh, you do not meet the level of purity and righteousness that my son Jesus is, he said, here's the wages of that. He says, the wages of sin is death. Anyone else feel convicted in that? Anyone lied before? Anyone stolen or cheated? Anyone taken somebody else's glory from themselves? It says once God sees that, and you are condemned once that happens. That's not good. And so we have to start realizing that anytime that we start thinking that we come to God with something to offer, we need to quickly hit the pause button, repent and turn around, take a step back and say, wait a minute, God, what does it look like to understand my sin and my brokenness? And the greater that we start to comprehend that, the greater our ability to begin receiving and connecting with God. One of the ways that I used to view sin, I don't know if you've heard the word sin described before. Sin is actually an archery term. It's a term where people would look at arrows and they said if you're shooting the arrow and you missed the bullseye, that was called a sin. It was off the mark. Here's the problem with that definition. We just start to think, well, at least I'm hitting the bullseye, right? Like, at least I'm going in the right area. And I came across this definition. I love this. It says, when the Bible describes the nature of our rebellion against God, it paints an uglier picture than our simply missing a bullseye. Rather than aiming carefully at God's target, we turn our backs and we shoot arrows everywhere else. Wanting to please ourselves, we ignore the true bullseye and set our affections on seductive targets that cannot satisfy, sanctify, or save. We're not primarily target missers. We are self-centered, false target worshipers. So I want all of us to start off in this place of just saying, I am messed up. I'm messed up, and there's no place where I'm able to jump from saying, okay, Jesus, I want to receive you now. Put me in the game. Put me to work. I'm going to be able to earn something if I'm good enough for you. I tell you, if your story's like mine or like Jim's, it's time to take a couple steps back, and maybe tonight is the first time you start to understand receiving. I'll tell you, if it is, this is an exciting time. It's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. You have an opportunity to learn how to and practice receiving tonight. So that's sin. I also want to talk about seeking. Talk about seeking. Seeking is something we talk about a lot on the weekends, and we want to be a place where anybody can come in and engage. And here's our definition of seeking. This is, as we think about seeking, we think about someone who's open, asking good questions, and willing to engage. I remember one of the times where we were getting ready to open this place, and we had people come in for an open house, and this guy came up to me and he said, man, Terry, this is a really neat church. It's great for seekers. It's great for seekers. And I could just tell he was also saying, it's great for people, but not people like me, like not people that are way further along, like I'm not seeking anymore. I've gotten to a place, and man, it really made sense to me this weekend. I was out at a wedding in West Virginia, and my good buddy Kenny, he called me, and he just said, wedding in West Virginia, were there any teeth in the wedding? I said, well, actually, the people from out of town, so yeah, there were teeth in the wedding, and oh, come on, that's funny. That's funny right there. And hey, and we're Kentucky. You know, Ohio's constantly giving us crap. It's time where we got to give crap to West Virginia and Tennessee and those other places, right? Come on. So anyhow, we go to this wedding. Let me tell you, one of the things finishing the wedding wasn't very impactful to me as much as the four-hour drive each way. I'll tell you, because you know what happened on that four-hour drive? I sat with my wife, and I learned a lot about her each way. We just asked questions for most of the drive there and most of the drive back. An interesting idea, I started getting this idea of what it meant to seek my wife, what it meant to say, I'm glad I'm not in a place where we've been married 10 years this year, and we're not like, well, we've learned everything we've gotten to know about each other, like, I guess that's all good, I'll just live with that, but rather we're sitting there saying, gosh, there's a lot we can learn, and what we're always changing, or at least there are different dynamics we can uncover about each other. And I started saying, gosh, if I'm always changing, how much does my view of God have to continue to change? How much do I have to continue to stay in a posture of seeking and being pliable and being teachable and being workable so that God can continue to work in my life? Let me tell you, any of us that are in a relationship with Jesus, we are always seeking. We're never going to stop seeking, just like we're going to talk about being in that same posture of receiving. We never graduate from that. We continue just to be pliable and moldable to where God wants us. And so I want to give that backdrop on with sin. The greater that we start to understand our sin and brokenness, the greater the capacity we're going to have to receive. And we need to stay in that posture of seeking, and we're going to talk about receiving. So I want to change gears. I want to start talking about receiving, but I first want to show you just an illustration of maybe what receiving can look like. And so we're going to put this little baby up here. Anybody like babies? Anybody like babies? Not really? Okay. Yes, I'm sometimes with you. First 6 months is tough. How about this one? So baby sloth, anybody? Anybody like zoo babies? That has absolutely nothing to do with what we're going to talk about tonight. So let's go back to the baby. As we think about babies, time and time again, the Bible describes the journey of spiritual growth starting off like a baby, starting off with infancy. And so we're going to start to understand using that. And here's some fetus factoids that may be interesting or helpful to you. First one, in a pregnancy, if vitamin K is deficient, a baby's face, a baby's spinal cord, and a baby's respiratory system won't develop properly if a single vitamin K is deficient. Also, so critical is vitamin D to a baby's health that lung, bone, and heart development that during the third trimester of the pregnancy, the mom's vitamin D levels drops because it has to supply that to the baby. And then lastly, even a little bit of a vitamin A deficiency in pregnancy can lead to kidney failure and malfunction for the rest of the baby's life. And so do we believe that things that either happen early on in the development of the baby or things that don't happen will affect the baby's trajectory forever, right? Let me say it again. Things that happen early on or things that don't happen will affect the baby's trajectory for the rest of its life. And what we have to understand is that so goes it spiritually. That things that happen, the things that shape us, the things that either give us nutrients or don't give us nutrients early on will continue to impact our trajectory for the rest of our lives. And I've just seen that there are usually two routes that we go. There are two routes. One, where we're deficient of understanding some of the nutrients we need. We're missing some of the things that God wants us to understand receiving. And it tends to be where we base our relationship with God based on what we can offer the relationship. We base our relationship with God saying, we bring something to the table, and we're going to call this works-based. We're going to call this works-based, where we try to work our way to God, and my output is the thing that determines my factor for growth. And the reality, if you've thought about this, and this is something I fell into for a long time, this is called religion. This is where we get the idea of empty religion. Here's the problem with that. It just doesn't take you anywhere. You'll never grow, and you'll start to see you compare yourself with others. And you don't have peace because there's always striving because you're never meeting where you need to go. A buddy of mine, Steven, that was helping put together some of the content that we're going through, he was talking about this story of when he was in high school, he was doing all kinds of good things. He was tutoring kids in junior high. He was running Bible studies. He was getting ready to go to a Bible college. I mean, he had all kinds of stuff going on. And then one time, he just felt like as he was getting ready to go to college, that God was saying, hey, you need to drop some things, and you just need to focus on me for a season. You just need to do that. And so Stephen started getting out of some of the things that he was engaged in. And it was really fascinating is the people around him, they started talking. And they started even coming up to him and saying, man, you've really fallen away from Jesus. You've really gotten to a place where we don't think you know Jesus because we don't think that you're doing the things that you need to. I tell you, it was a wake-up call for him. He started to see this idea of religion where everyone was thinking, your relationship with God is completely based on the output that's in your life. And if that's the type of life that you're living, if that's your starting point, if that's the lack of nutrients that you get, I just want to tell you, you're going to grow up with deformities. You're going to grow up in a place that is always basing your relationship on other things. And we shouldn't be surprised when we end up looking like this, where people come to us and they think their eyes coming out of the side of our head and they're saying, oh my gosh, this is like, get me away from this person because they don't know what they're doing and their life is a mess. Because we shouldn't be surprised when we start to look like Picasso because we don't have the joy of God. We don't have the peace in our lives. This is not the way that we were designed to be. This is a deficiency of the nutrients that we need. Here's the other way, though. And so if that's the workspace, there's this idea of what does it look like when we start off receiving grace? What's it look like when we start off saying, God, my relationship with you is not based on the output that I have, but it's based on the ability I have to receive and take from you. The ability I have just to take what you have to give me. And the reality is when we start to learn to just beautifully receive from God, we immediately start to look like this. We just look like a beautiful baby that people want to hold, they want to cuddle with, they want to build into, they want to be around. That's the starting point. It's the beautiful place, and you know what's interesting? You'll grow from this into something beautiful that God made you to be. And we get a very interesting talk about what this journey looks like from a guy named Paul. Paul was a head Pharisee. He was a guy that knew all about following the rules and doing the right things. And Paul has this conversion where things just changed for him because he started to understand what it looked like to be in a relationship with God and a relationship with Jesus. And he starts to describe this in Ephesians. He says, you know, it's not by the works you're doing, it's by free grace that you were delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation through faith. It's by free grace that Christ saves you. And this salvation came not through your own striving and doing things, but is the gift of God. It's something that you what? Receive. So it's a gift of God, and it's not the result of anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it. You have to know you have huge needs and God can do something about it. You are helpless on your own, but the beautiful thing is God is just saying, I've got so much to pour onto you. I've got so much to give you that the Bible starts describing, here's the posture to get in. If you want to get what I have, you need to tilt your head back. You need to open your mouth wide. Psalms 81 says this. It says, open wide your mouth. It just says, open it up. Give it to me. All of it. I just want to pour it in. Like, that's the picture that God has. Like, we're like this baby bird that God's just like, I'm just going to dump it in. I'm going to hook you up. Come on, just be ready. You've got to be in a posture of receiving if you want to do it. I just want to convince you, works-based faith, or just works apart from Jesus. Does Jesus want us to change and do works? Absolutely. But when we start to think that our works give us righteousness, we will always be to a place of slavery. We will always be stuck. And when we start to realize, what does a healthy baby need? Healthy baby doesn't need to give anything. It just needs to receive rest. We're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. What does it look like to have healthy rest in our lives? Baby needs food and nutrients. Baby needs love. And I'll tell you, if a baby has those things, it's going to get to a place that it needs to go. And you've got to understand that you have to receive. And so I want you to think right now, have you ever had a season in your life? Have you ever had a regular stretch of time where you've just sat and received? Where you've not tried to get to work and do something that earned from God, but have you ever had a time where you just said, God, I think you have me in a period of just receiving from you where I don't have to work for anything, but I just need to take in the good stuff that you have to offer. Have you ever been in that position? If you haven't, I'm really excited for this year if you're willing to give this a shot. I'm really excited to see what is going to happen as we start to say, God, I just want what you have and I can't earn it. I'm excited to see how he's going to use you as we do these experiments and challenges together. Here's the promise. Here's what it says to you in John 1:11-12. It says, he came to that which was his own, but his own received him not. He came to people and he said, look, I'm the one that gives life. And they said, nope, we don't want it. We can do this on our own. But to as many as receive him, to many who call on his name, he gives them the power to become the sons of God. gives them the power to become the sons of God. You know what that word sons of God is? It's huios. He's going to take us to a place of maturity. He's going to grow us to where we're not only mature ourselves, we finally can get to a place where we're going to start building into and rescuing other people around us. But there's a starting spot. It says, truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall not enter it at all. Whoever you have to accept the kingdom of God like a child. This is paideion. And let me tell you, what does a paideion have to offer? Nothing. What does my three and a half year old have to offer me? He's not washing the dishes. He's not bringing in any income to the household. What do I need Tyson to do? I just need him to receive. I need to be in a posture where he's receiving from his dad that loves him, where he's being set up to do the things that he's going to do later on, but it's always going to start in a place of receiving. If you're like Jim, if you're like me, if we're getting caught in religion, I'm telling you, this poses a real, real problem. So I want us to understand, what does it look like to actually practice a lifetime of receiving? What does it look like to actually take tangible steps in that? We're gonna have the opportunity tonight. It's part of the way why we set the music up differently tonight. And so we're going to do something right now. In a moment, we're going to take communion. I'm going to invite the band up. And Colossians 2:6 says this. It says, just as you received Messiah Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him. Once you start receiving, you need to continue to walk in him. You need to continue to receive from him. We're going to practice that now. We're going to do it two ways. First thing we're going to do, we're going to receive by taking communion together. When we take communion, one of the postures that we're putting ourselves in, we're saying, God, I believe the things that you say you are about yourself and your son Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is the bread of life. And the problem is, we have to keep going that bread of life. It's our daily bread. We've got to go again and again and again. We're going to take communion. We're going to say, God, I have to receive from you. We're going to have an opportunity to recognize how helpless we are as we do this. And as we go and we take the bread, we're going to have an opportunity. We're going to dip it in the wine. I'm going to invite those volunteers up right now. When we dip it in the wine, we're going to start to recognize, God, not only are you my provider, but the things that I've tried to do that have earned my way with you, they're like filthy rags. And the only thing that cleanses that is when God sees your blood instead of mine. We're just going to recognize we're helpless without God. After that, we're going to have a time where we're actually not only going to go through this posture of being receiving, but I think we're going to have an opportunity together to receive in a way that maybe we haven't before. I'm really excited for that. And so I just want to pray for us now that we would begin to understand what it looks like to have this foundation, to have this beginning that will set us up to be mature. Let's pray. God, I'm thankful that you give us an example. You don't leave us alone. And God, I'm thankful that we have forgiveness even if we've messed it up. Even if we spent a lot of time doing this the wrong way, you still continue to meet us right where we're at, and you say, there's still time. There's still time to turn around. God, I'm thankful that 35-year-old guys like me that still have rebellion in me, that you're continuing to work that, and you're saying, you want to know how to work on it, Terry, you need to receive. And God, I pray that you would just be reaching out to every person in this room, that God, as we get ready to take communion, we'd be reminded of how helpless we are without you. But not just how helpless, how much hope we have in you. That God, you are saving and redeeming and changing us. You have a beautiful picture of what it looks like to be mature. Give us bravery to go after that. Mostly, God, just give us a heart that would receive from you right now as we take communion. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the bread. Let's receive the goodness of God and the forgiveness that comes as we take communion together.
Fill me now. Fill me now. life somehow. Cleanse and comfort, hold and teach me.
James 1, that was part of the homework assignment. It said, don't just be hearers of the word and deceive yourselves, but do something with it. We have an opportunity right now to do something about it. And so we have the prayer team. I want to invite the prayer team, anybody that's a part of that, to come up front. I want to give us an opportunity to receive tonight in a way that I think many of us probably never have. I want us to give us an idea of how to use the rest of our time to actually tangibly practice receiving. I don't want us to deceive ourselves to think, well, I heard something that's felt interesting, because we have to do and put into practice, not because we think we can earn anything, but because we believe God's worth it and God's receiving from it. I believe God has something to receive tonight. And here are a few things that I want us to do tonight. Number one, to receive. I want us to agree with God about sin. Maybe tonight there's something in your life that you're saying, man, I've just not been looking at this the right way. God, I just want to agree, you are holy, and my works in and of themselves do not get me to you. I have sin in my life. Then two, tell him you want to seek him forever. Tell him that you want to be in a posture that says, God, I want what you have. I want to seek after you and never stop doing that. And three, we're going to continue singing songs, and we're going to say, God, you are great. And here's what's going to be unique about that. We're not doing this because we can give something to God when we sing worship. Worship is all about receiving. Worship is all about recognizing, God, you are great. You've got something to give me. And as I just empty myself, God, I put myself in a posture of receiving from you. We're going to do that together right now. Number four. We're going to confess our anti-receiving religion. If there's a problem around Crossroads, there's a problem around this place, it's that we tend to think that we don't need to receive. We tend to think that we don't have to take anything, that man, we've just done enough good stuff. Let me tell you, that does not work. It's a sign of immaturity, and it's okay if we're there now. Let's not stay that way. God says, I have something way better than that for you. And you can have the benefit of confessing that right now. And God promises that when we confess, we actually get healed. Something beautiful that happens. You have the opportunity to say, I want to confess that now to somebody that will care for you and love you and get healing tonight from one of these great folks in front of me. Number five, get prayer and make it stick. I bet many of us, and I talk to a lot of people around Crossroads, where I'll get a chance to pray for them, and they'll say, I've never had that happen before. Never had somebody just pray Jesus' name over me, pray blessing over me. Maybe tonight you get that blessing that you've never had. You've got a group that desires to do that, that's waiting here to do that. My goal would be that everybody here would get prayed for tonight. That every person in this room would receive prayer tonight. That's my goal, I'm telling you now. You should receive prayer tonight. And one of these great folks in front of me here would love to do that for you. Wouldn't you guys love to do that? Great. My goal would be that everybody would receive tonight and receive prayer. I'm telling you, God wants that for you. He wants you to receive. You have an opportunity to do that. And as uncomfortable as it is, We're saying that, God, you're worthy of it all because we can't do it on our own. Let's receive tonight. Also want to say on June 29th, we're going to have a healing night of prayer, and you can continue receiving after this. We're going to have a night where we're going to have the ability, if there's something that you've been struggling with, continue to have people pour into you, and you're going to have the ability to receive on June 29th. And then the last one, number 7, we're going to have the opportunity to experiment and exchange. And so if you texted us, we're going to text you back. We're going to give you something this week. We're going to get a chance to continue outside of here. Let's not wait for that. Let's start experimenting now. Also, some of you, we've been having texting issues. You can go to crossroads.net/next level. Or if you don't have a group, let me tell you, one of the ways you're going to receive is by being in a group of people, of having others around you that allow you to receive. And you can get into a group right after this by heading over to the fireplace, and we'll put you into a group tonight. But I just desire that we would not just be hearers, but tonight we would be doers and receive from a God that just knows us by name, that God that has good gifts, that says open wide, I have something to give you. And so we're going to have Aaron and the band continue to lead us. I pray that all of us would receive tonight. We would do it in a way that is so tangible that say, God, you are good, you are with us. Let's do that now.
guys aren't receiving prayer, why don't we stand up and we'll just continue worshiping God together, just telling him how great and wonderful he is.
And darkness tries.
of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, into you are all things. You deserve the glory.
All the saints.
Of it all, you are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, into you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all.
Our voices sing.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, into you are all things. You deserve the glory.
God's happy tonight, not because we've done anything special. God's happy because whenever our hearts come in a receiving posture, He loves to fill them. He tells us to open our mouths because He wants you to receive. Because that's when God gets to show off. That's when we see the power of God. And so let's not forget to do that. You're going to have an opportunity to get into a group. If you're not in a group, let's meet by the fireplace. But the foundation of maturity is receiving. Let's keep this posture as we go. And our prayer team is going to stay here. If you need prayed for, we still have open people here. They would love to do that. Let's have a great week, guys. Look forward to seeing you at Next Level.